Blog Talk Radio.
Amen. God bless you once again for coming over to our radio station this afternoon. This is Pastor Charles Ellis here at Harvest New Life Church. This is our Hope Radio broadcast that we have each and every Thursday as well. It's on our entire Monday. We've been kind of reserving Wednesday night on our prayer night because we have been having what we would call an individual 12 o'clock prayer meeting for everyone to turn down a plate during that course of the time, that they may receive the word of God and they pray for the welfare of the work that we're doing in the ministry as well as their lives. So once again, I want to thank each and every one of you for being participants in that particular prayer that we've been praying. We've been doing it all the month of May, and we're going to continue to ask you to continue to be with us, continue to hear what the word of God has to say, and just continue to discipline yourself. You just want to push yourself away from that table and just say, Lord, it's something I want from you more. As I turn down my plate, I want to be able to understand that you are more important to me in my life and the things that surround me, that we may receive that ingratiation that God so loved, he wants to give us, that he just loves us. He said he gave his only begotten son, that even in the midst we have the right to the tree of life. So I believe us teaching on the Holy Spirit is going to be one of the great vines that comes from the true vine. This is in John 15. And as we go forth, we want to continue to ask you just to be with us, pray with us, keep us in your spirit, as God continues to give us revelation and the vision he's got us, given us for Harvest New Life Church. Once again, I'd like to say we're located at 1655 North Central Expressway. That's in the Holiday Inn Suites, in the Holiday Inn Hotel, in other words. We've got this whole downstairs floor. For more information, once you go to our website, which is www.harvestnewlifechurch.com, there you see more information about directions how to get to the church, and who we are as leaders in the church, and what we believe, and the vision that God had for us in the ministry at this time. And we thank God for each and every one of you joining us. We're going to go ahead and get started and open up with prayer. We're going to have our own sister, Shanitra Stretic, to open us up with prayer as we go forth, and let's receive the word of God, what's about to bring for us, that we may have the understanding that through him, that everything we do in our life is possible. Woman of God, go ahead.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for blessing us to be able to see this day and to be able to get on the line today to hear your word. I ask that the word that goes forth today, the teaching that goes forth, it is all of you, none of us. I ask that we receive education through revelation of your word, and that we can not only understand it, but we can get the wisdom and the knowledge that we need, and we can walk in it the correct way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Woman of God, God bless you. It's amazing when you heard her prayer. She say, it's not that we may know all the things that God has in store for us. And the Word of God speaks about that. When you go to the book of Ephesians, we're going to be dealing with some areas of the Bible. We want you to really follow along with us as we go through the book of Ephesians. And we're going to look at something in Ephesians 1. We'll go through the book of Ephesians 1. It's not our total topic. We're going to end up we're going to be floating in and out of scriptures. We're going to be going back and forth, and we're going to see what God is saying, and it's through his Son, through the Holy Spirit, what we're going to have to lead us forward and what God has called us today. In the book of Ephesians, in chapter 1, one of our studies, we're dealing with the Holy Spirit. You know, you talk about the book of Ephesians. You talk about how Christ is the head of the church. We talk about how the church, we are the body and the conduct areas of the believers. And as Christians in the welfare and the counselship, Lord, God has imputed to us as being men and women of God. But Paul goes on to bring a word over in the book of Ephesians. It says in the first chapter 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will, let's listen to this real, by the will of God to the saints, which are in Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, he's given a strong word there. We're going to go back over it. It says, grace be to you and peace from the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm reading out the King James Version. Yours might swing here a little, but we all reading the same thing, so let's just join in together. He said, blessed be the God of the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Now, look, he says, in heavenly places, in Christ, according as he had chosen us before the foundations of the world. Now, when we look at that, we think about that. Paul the apostle, even as he wrote this epistle, he was in prison. And the process that he's writing faith to those other people of Ephesus to encourage them in their walk with Christ, to know that him being as the apostle, called to do the work, that even in the state where in which he's in, he's still encouraging them to continue to walk with encouragement. Paul the apostle, we talked about apostleship. We talked about how, you know, Paul was, you look at the part of the book of Acts 9, talk about the road to Damascus and how Paul was struck off his beast, off his horse, in other words, for those who want to interpret that differently. But at the same time, we understand that Paul had to be guided by somebody that was even, that he was being blinded, but he was guided by somebody that he was guiding to lead him to the road called straight. But in the midst of that, Paul began to understand a lot of words of information that he speaks. He said, now I'm under the concept and I'm under the direction of someone more greater than me. So Paul takes that same word through the Spirit, which is delivered into him, and he begins to tell the people of Ephesus that I'm coming in the will of Christ. Now, this is very strong when we talk about this, because we talked about on last week how we spoke in Romans, I believe Romans chapter 10, how he talked about how they had a zeal They had a zeal for Christ. In other words, but they was ignorant of the knowledge. They didn't quite understand a lot of what they were going into. They had a zeal for Christ, but they was ignorant of the knowledge, meaning they didn't know how to worship in a proper way, but they was going around being something to themselves that they know ought to be. And if you stay right there for a minute, we're going to flip our book, as we always do in the Bible. I want you to flip over to the book of Romans. I want you to follow with me on this. We're always leading to something. The Word of God says, you have to hear, let me hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say to the church, and that's to you. Now, when you look over the book of Romans, there's some things going on in the book of Romans. And God begins to bring a word in the book of Romans in chapter 10. He said, brother, my heart's desire and prayers to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Now, we want to follow this. We're looking at what Ephesians began to speak about in terms of him being in the will of Christ, but he's yet talking over to the Romans in the same manner, but getting them to understand in chapter 10 that they need to understand that there's a zealousness you guys have, but y'all failing in knowledge. And so he says, brother, my heart's desire and prayers to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear the record that they might have, so we said, a zeal of God, but according to the knowledge. But not according to the knowledge. They have a zeal for him. I'm enthusiastic about him, but I don't really have a deep compassion in my heart. And he says over in the third verse, for being ignorant of God's righteousness, going on about establishing their own righteousness, having not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. Now, that's dangerous work. When you go into the house of God, when you claim the Holy Spirit in you, but yet you live in a life like you're in hell. You know, you can't walk between two areas. You can't walk the gray and then walk the white. In other words, there's a fine line in the kingdom that said that you can't cross over once you go into. Now, Paul is making a word to them. When you understand what he says over in the book of Romans, that is a very dangerous run that you get into. You say you love the Lord, but at the same time, you're juggling on an opposite side. Your lifestyle outside the body of Christ, when I mean the body of Christ for some who's in the church, and then you portray something different on the outside. But Paul brings a strong word to the people of Ephesus, encouraging them by the will he say he sent. But now he's not under the unction of himself, but he's under the unction of the Holy Spirit. And he said, him being an apostle, one who's about to start the work, who's doing the work of God, he's under the will to bring a faithful word to them, that they may understand that it's not him who's doing the work, but it's Christ that's in him. And he says unto them that even when it falls short in verse 2, he says in Ephesians 1 and 2, he said, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look what he says in 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. God don't have to push you. You don't have to beg God for anything. His will and desire is to bless you automatically. You're not, in other words, when you were born, you were created to be blessed if you follow the regulations of what God has deserved in your life for you to be. God never wants to try to pull nothing from you. He said, no, the blessings are already there. All you have to do is line up. If you can't continue to move like the brothers in the book of Romans, that you continue to have a zeal for him, but not having an understanding of the knowledge of what he's calling you to be. See, you'll fall short in the work that God is calling you to do. But in the opening statement, when you heard the woman of God reading the chapter, praying, she began to speak about the knowledge is not from me, but it be from God, that I may receive that what he have in store for me, just as Paul speaks about in the book of Ephesians in chapter 1. He says, now I'm coming in the will of not myself, but through the will of Jesus Christ, that I may perform the work that Christ has given me as been a master builder to be able to do the work God is calling me in this time and this season. So he said, all the spiritual blessings and gifts are already there. I don't have to want from anything. God's word is not going to go void in what he promised us when he brought us into this world. In other words, when the book of Jeremiah speaks in verse 1, he said, before I formed, I knew. Then he speaks about in Ephesians 4 about the gifts that he portrayed to us to have, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher, and the evangelist. But at the same time, he gave us the laming gifts over in the book of 1 Corinthians, over in 12 and 7. By the manifestation of the Spirit, he's given each and every one of us the gift that we may profit with all. But Paul is stressing these words to the people of Ephesus that in your walk with Christ, don't be bewildered or be belittled about the things that are around you. Your job as a man and woman of God that's created in the image of Christ is to keep your eyes to the hills. Don't look at the parallel, but look at the vertical. And we go on into verse 4, we say, according as he has chosen us before the foundations of the world. Now, we just spoke about that, of course, in the book of Jeremiah. Before you were born, I knew. In other words, man ain't got the ability to speak a gift into you. Your gift comes through what God has ordained you to do, ordained you to be before the foundations of the world. I mean, he called you to have a gift, and you know, what we have sometimes in the body of Christ. And it's not, you know, criticizing anybody, but sometimes we fall into a little ignorance to the point that we feel like a man has got the ability to give us something. And he never was engineered or created to the point to rule us in a way that the Spirit was given to us. It was only by God himself. He said, before the foundations of the world in Ephesians 1 and 4, and we should have the holy, and he said he'd be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, I just want to just hit there a little bit when I talk about the gifts of the Spirit and how the gifts of the Holy Ghost, and how you want to call it, the saints call it the Holy Ghost, and we call it the Holy Spirit. But we understand that it's one Spirit. It's one gift that God gives you. You're not born that, even though as an apostle, you're designed to have multiple gifts in the starting of an apostolic work. But Paul is speaking in terms of, I got to distribute the gifts now that has come unto me. To raise up men and women of God in the proper manner, in that where they may teach the word. The word of God speaks in terms of, but there are many fathers, but are not enough teachers. We have a lot of fathers in the ministry, but there's not enough teachers teaching us. And in the area in which we walk into, God is always asking us, according to his word, that we be led by the Holy Spirit, that we're not to lean to our own understanding, but we acknowledge God in all his way. He goes on and says a very powerful word over in, as we flip and we move down a little. We want to stay in Ephesians 1. We want to move a little bit down. We want to see something interesting in the book of Ephesians. In verse 18, he says that the eyes and their understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope and the calling of what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now, the riches and inheritance in you comes right out of the book of Corinthians. We spoke about that. The gift is something that's more precious in you, that it'll overflow and come out of you. But if you never can stand still and have a mind to want to hear what the Spirit has to say, you can never receive. And those who you see that want to, when you're around in the air or you're around in the atmosphere, you're around in a little clique or what you call it, it's more about boasting. And, you know, the Bible says that no man has got the ability to boast on anything because he never was the one that ever created the gift anyway. But we have now in the body of Christ is that it's boasting to the point that they feel that they're a little bit more upper, epistle, a little more bougie, as you say, than you. But God has created us to be all one particular level. I'm speaking on some words here, but I really want you to see this in the book of Ephesians. He says in 18 that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of the calling, of what the riches of the glory and inheritance of the saints. Now, he's asking you, look, you can see with your natural eye, but most of y'all can't see with your spiritual eye. You're still looking through the carnal lens of understanding of what God is trying to show you. And he said, I'm trying to show you something far more greater. That's why he speaks over in the book of 1 Corinthians. He says, your eyes have not seen, your ears haven't heard. But the hope, what Paul said, that your spiritual eye opened up. Oh, we can see with a natural eye, but as a spiritual eye that God gives you when you move in the Holy Spirit, that when God gives you the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is understanding that you don't get the gift through just being baptized and laid in the water. You don't get the gift at conception. And when you receive Christ, there's another area that you got to go to go higher. So when you lay down in the water, you can go into the water in hell and you can come up a person in hell. But when you're in baptism, when you've been baptized by the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, God enables something more powerful to work in you to bring out of you those things that you've been struggling with. Now, as we spoke earlier in this series that we were talking about, that the Holy Spirit wasn't ever designed to save you. It was designed to comfort you. I want you to hear this real good. The blood which Jesus shed on the cross was designed to deliver you from all your sins. He says, by the blood that you were delivered from your sins. But in the midst of your sins, you still struggle. And in the midst of you still struggling, God said, I sent forth a comforter. And that comforter will be the Holy Spirit that will guide you into all truth. Meaning he's there. He's the paraclete. He's there to help you. In other words, the woman that God spoke last week, he's your coach. He's giving you the plays. He's giving you the direction. He's giving you the understanding. He's giving you everything you need to walk in the full assurance that know that it's not by you that you receive anything. It's by him and what Christ has put in you. You can lay down in the water and still be the same way. And you can come up out of the water the same way. But if you ain't been baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit, something that's got the ability to burn all the crust out of you, burn all the negativity, burn all the anger out of you, burn all the malice out of you, burn all that lying, that lasciviousness, all that adultery, that yelling, and all that crazy stuff that's been inside of you. That's why he told the Ephesians, y'all got a zeal for the Lord, but y'all still walking in ignorance. Y'all still doing things pertaining to man and the world system. But you come into the house of God, you pray to God, you say you love the Lord, but your actions prove different. Now, you can't walk like that in the Holy, when you're walking in the Holy Spirit. That's why the Word says that they confess it with their mouth, but they don't believe it in their heart. Yeah, you say you're saved, but then your actions prove who you really are. Now, let's push on out for that. We won't stay on that too long. But as we read on here, I want to show you something here, and I'm going to keep on moving here. But the baptism is received by several different gifts of the Holy Spirit. These gifts are freely given to us to help us live as being followers of Jesus Christ. I'm reading from the different notes that I'm going in my study. These gifts are designed to build up the body of Christ, which is the church. You know, Corinthians talk about you are the church, not the building, not the concrete, but it's you. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are sealed and strengthened within confirmation. The seven gifts help us to respond to the presence of the Holy Spirit, to live in our lives and to make good choices as being servants of the Most High God. We talk about the wisdom that God gives us. It's the gift of knowledge, that to make the right choices. We're talking about the gift of understanding. Now, we're going to get to the fruit, but we're talking about some natural things that we as men and women got need to have. And wisdom is one that we really lack in the body of Christ. That we don't wait for God to give them the word, but we go on with our own understanding. And the word of God clearly tells us, don't lean to your own understanding, but you are to acknowledge God in all his way, and then he'll direct your path. I believe the word of God says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask. And he is given freely. It's given to him liberally. It's not held. It's not bound. But understanding is the gift of comprehension, or the ability to grasp the meaning of a teaching, of a word that's in the church. A gift of understanding helps us to tolerate the systematic things other than helping us to have censorship in someone who's hurting. You know what? When you see something in somebody, you know that they're hurting. You have a discerning spirit to know that they're hurting, and you want to go to comfort them. In other words, we're looking at the area of someone who's dealing with something so horrible when it comes, you know, well, man, you know, I just got this going on, and they got a good front going on. But discerning of the spirit would allow you, as being a man or woman of God, to tap into them and know that they're going through something. That when they're going through something, you got the ability to tap in and know how to give them the words of comfort. We talk about the right judgment of counsel. Is the gift of presiding to the point of the gift of right judgment to help us make right choices as been followers of Jesus Christ. We talk about the knowledge. Knowledge is the gift of knowing, the enlightenment, that the gift of knowledge enables us to choose the right path that will lead us to God. Now, that's very strong, the gift of knowledge. Reverence is a purity gift of confidence in God. Now, when you reverence God through the Holy Spirit, that means you're praising God. You want the inhabitants of the power of his presence to be within you or within your presence or within your atmosphere. Because you all who come into service on Sunday morning during the intercessional prayer, you hear me say all the time, I declare that this ground be holy ground. That means that whatever comes to look got to submit to the authority of what's in the house. It can't come in with its own agenda. It can't come in with its own understanding. It's got to lean not to its own, but acknowledge the vision and the power and what God has preordained or called in the presence of that atmosphere at that time. You have to reverence the power of God. You can't walk over it. You got to reverence it. And it's something that really got to me a little bit. And I was reading my scriptures just the other day. And it talks about the five gifts of the Spirit. Well, it's really nine gifts of the Spirit. We talk about the joy, the peace, the temperance, these things. But when you understand, when you turn your Bibles over to the book of Galatians, and we slowly turn over to the book of Galatians chapter 5, we'll see something very interesting. And I want to read something to you after we look at this. I'm gonna show you something that even in a Catholic state, how they do some things that really it really can help us in our walk with Christ. And I'm not getting out of anything. Now, there's some things that go on in there that I ain't pleased with, but there are some good things. So I just eat the meat and throw away the bones. And when we look at the Galatians chapter 5, we're talking about the presence of the Holy Spirit now. And it talks about on Galatians 5, verse 22, but the fruits of the Spirit, and you can count them as you go. It talks about the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the gentleness. Yours might read a little different from mine, the goodness, the faith. But here's what's really good for us, the meekness and the temperance. In other words, the goodness is the area where we exhibit good within, when we honor God, avoiding sin. Sin is always going to be there to tempt us. But when we look at the meekness that we have, it exhibits a goodness within us. It's honoring God by avoiding sin and always trying to do what is right. That's what's in you. But let's take a look at love. Love exhibits the virtue of charity, a love by our unselfishness, devotion, and caring for God and our neighbors. Now, we're talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You can't have this if you're walking, what Paul spoke to the Romans about Romans 10. You got a zeal for all this good stuff. In other words, you come before people with appearance that you're that. Of something that you, but in other words, you're an angel during the day, but you're a werewolf at night. In other words, you're doing things different behind God's back that not pleasing to him when you're in the house of God. And God said, I can't deal with that. That's just schizophrenia. That's just Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And you just got to stop living like that. He talks about the joy. We live with the joy when we recognize that true happiness comes not from money or possessions, but knowing that they're followers of Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible talks, I'm going to put your money, don't put your life in possessions of things. Now, I ain't saying that God said you can't have nothing, but sometimes we'll get that thing and then we'll twist it a little bit. And we'll say that God is in the midst of what I'm doing. And we'll mingle that stuff into together, and we'll go psych our own selves out, believing that what we're doing in our own, that it's from God, but yet living a life of hell and acting like you're from hell. But then you want to mingle in and say, well, God bless me with this. Now, God said, I give you all spiritual blessings, but as a way that you receive the truthfulness of what God has put into you as being a man and woman of God. He talks about the peace. We are free from worrying about the travel. You know, he'd be all the time saying, if you're going to pray, don't worry. And if you're going to worry, don't pray. But peace, we are free from worrying about the trivial things that's in our inner area that causes the peace to flee from us. Even the long-suffering, when we talk about the patience, it demonstrates a practice of treating others within the toughness, and not the toughness, but in the toughness of the spirit to tolerate even when people come at you in a negative way. These things have got to be in you. Gentleness is the same as kindness. We live as a virtual kindness by treating others as we want to be treated. Now, we talked about the Holy Spirit. We ended this series, but if y'all was with us in the early part of the season, we got in the book of Acts, we talked about what is the baptism of the Holy Spirit and why the Holy Spirit. But now we're giving you the understanding that when you get the Holy Spirit, these things, when you get the signs, these are things that automatically be in you. They'll come in you as you receive more of God, more of Christ, more of love, more of joy, more of peace. This is evidence that you're now walking in the gift of the Holy Ghost. Kindness, gentleness, meekness. No, temperance. We're talking about generosity. Generosity is to demonstrate the fruits of graciousness. And then when we share our gifts and our possessions with others, meaning that when we go out and witness, that when God gives us a word, we go out and witness. We ain't trying to control your life, but we're trying to help you to understand there's a better walk with life, that you can't continue to keep walking the way you walk, because sometimes you walk right off a cliff and not understand that you're walking off the cliff. That even though he is a man of God, I got people that are in authority that's over me, that when they tell me, well, I call your house and I talk to wife and I see if you acting up, and I give them the right to maybe call my house even talk to my young daughter, how is your daddy acting in the house? That's when a man is free to know that he's doing the right thing in Christ, that he has nothing to hide, that his life is really on a slate, that his stand before God is God begins to cleanse him up. He begins to wipe all of that stuff up off of you. But anyway, we speak about the good understanding of walking in the virtue of the Holy Spirit. But we really need to understand the fact that we're demonstrating it when we walk in it. We just can't say we got the Holy Spirit and then live in the kind of way. We can't just keep living like heathens and doing everything opposite of what God is telling us. Demonstrating the baptism of the Holy Spirit is understanding the second part of the baptism, what some people call the fire. The first part is when you come into the custom to understand, I'll receive you, Christ. How did it say in Romans 8:9, 10:8-9? That what is the word is near you, is in your mouth. Okay, now you received it. And now you got to understand that the laying of hands and the power of the Spirit, that God has given you the ability to have the full effect of what he's designed for you to have. No, he don't want to give you a little sprinkle over here, a little sprinkle over there. He want to give you a full charge in your life and what he's calling you to do. And when God touches you and you realize and understand that it's through him, that everything and all things are possible, you begin to understand that it's through Christ that I receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And as we go forth, now I'm going to bring up some question marks here, and I want you to real pay very close attention. There's the lines open up to listen to those who speak and how they speak and the tone in which they speak in. And you will understand if the spirit in this, what we've been studying for the last 4 weeks, is in them. Now, we have several hands up on the line. I'm going to hit some questions here in just a minute, but after I'm finished, I will get you in here. I see we got a question come up from 469. I'm not going to pull the punch right now, but I'm going to put the mic hot in just a minute. But I want the viewers to hear that everything that we've been teaching through the course of this study for the last 4 months, for the last 4 weeks, I mean 3 weeks, we want you to hear what God is speaking in this time and this season. Amen. But anyway, before we get to this caller, the definition, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, not of, but in the Holy Spirit, is an understanding to be second to the baptism in the fire or the power of speaking by Jesus Christ, which is in Acts 1:8. Now, he says stay in Jerusalem. That means come under the understanding until you learn something. Sometimes you bail out of school too early. You don't know nothing. And the Bible says that Paul talks about you just can't get wind doctor from everywhere. When you get things through the Holy Spirit, it's not going to come through just through a book or through your natural education. It's going to come through the reverence of the Holy Spirit. He said, lean not to your own, but acknowledge him in all your way, and he'll direct your path. Now, this is what the Word of God speaks. But even as we begin to get the callers in and open up the lines, we want to get some call. We want to get some feedback on this particular message that we're speaking today. And I'm going to open the line up for the 832. I think it's 832-880. I'm going to say everything about it. But your mic is hot.
Hello?
Yeah, it's going to be you. Go ahead. God bless you. Go ahead.
I like the metaphor that you use with school. With school, you know, and people bailing out too early because people have the misconception that, you know, when they understand the baptism of the water and, you know, a lot of people are not in tune with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and it's like it's an option for them. But really, you know, you like we were speaking about the coach and the team, you need it. You need it, and when you receive it, you will feel, you know, the things, the, you know, in Galatians 5:22, the fruits. And if you actually, you know, I encourage everyone to, in your prayers, just incorporate to ask God to let you view yourself as he views you. And you'll really see some things about yourself. You might think you're kind. Like I say all the time, you think you're good until, you know, God comes and corrects some things. He'll come and correct some things. And just like, you know, I'm a work in progress myself. And
no,
I have to give all glory to God because I know those things, those fruits that are coming out, those are not of me. Because before I had received, I didn't have those fruits. I thought I did, you know, but I didn't. I realized I didn't come into the fullness of those fruits. And just like I would, you know, the kindness and the long suffering, and you know, is These are things that people take for granted, and it seems small. But, you know, and just like the peace itself, when you experience God's love and you get these fruits, you know, it changes your life. It changes how you look at things. It changes, you know, that there's a saying that people say life is 90%, well, 10% of what happens and 90% of how you react to it. Because these things, it says in the word that God's going to make it rain on the just and the unjust.
Amen.
Everything that happens to the good and bad. It's how we handle it and what we think of it and how we react to it that makes the difference between them and God's people.
Amen. Amen, woman of God. I see the 469. I'm going to go to the next. I don't call all of you guys' numbers out because I don't know who and what's on the line. But we want to limit our time in speaking. We don't want to. We don't want to eat all the pie, but God bless you, woman of God. I want 469-531 pop back in and out. I think they had a question up early. I'm going to light that person up, and they can go ahead and speak. Women, let's keep our time limited. 469-531, your mic is hot.
Hi, good evening, Pastor.
Hello, how you doing? God bless
you.
You're there. You lit up. You're in here.
Okay. I just want to comment on Sister Shay, what she was saying of how God, when God comes into a life, and what you were saying earlier that we cannot be stepping back and forth. If we're walking towards God's will, we got to stay on that course. We cannot sacrifice our integrity of knowing what God wants us to do for popularity, and that's what's happening with so many people nowadays. They're trying to be exalted up by mankind, but instead of being exalted up by God himself.
Amen. Well, God bless the woman of God. We appreciate that. That's a powerful comment, that, you know, to stay steady on the course. I have here 469 again, 324, and I want, I believe, the young lady to say something. She's always on the line, but I'm going to light her up a little bit again. I think I know who it is, but I don't know. But I'm going to wait to hear the voice. 469-324, you're on the air. You're hot. All right. I guess 469-324 is kind of setting back a little bit. Her mic is on. And I noticed we had another young lady that's on. I don't know if young lady, young man. I couldn't tell who is not me to say. But I've been getting a call. I've been getting an error code of 214-451. I mean, they're more than welcome to speak. They're sitting back silent, but I'm going to light their mic up. And I just wanted to just say, or him to say, whatever they want to say that's on their mind. I believe it's 214-451. I'm not going to give everything. I'm just going to let that stay right there. And your mic is now on. If you have something you want to say during the course of this broadcast, I guess she's going to keep it silent. But I tell you, there's nothing wrong with that. Well, God bless you for being on. We want you to stay on and continue to listen. Don't feel shy about what you have to say. And as we go back over to our own sister Stredick, I believe I can call her out because she's one of the people who helped push the line forward. And I do recognize the voice. I believe I got it right. Our Sunday school teacher. The kid's Sunday school teacher. I'm not gonna call her out because it's not my say so to do that. But God bless her. But back to Sister Stredick, woman of God. There is some information that we have been speaking on during the course before this study came out. And I don't know if you got that text on the study tonight. Is that with you now? Do you have that to read, or is it possible for you to read? If not, I'll go ahead and go through with it. Sister Stredick?
Are you talking about John 14:26?
I think it was a whole lineup we sent out, but if you don't have it to be able to read, don't worry about that, because it was a whole lineup that we wanted to look into that. It was kind of deal with the error or why the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Let's move forward. For the sake of time, we want to push through, and we want to just continue to move forward what God is doing. But let's go back over to the book of Acts. We want to go over to the books of Acts. We're going to talk a little bit about the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. First, we want to look at, we're going to have Sister Stredick read Acts 2 and 4. And we wanted to read that, and we want to get a good understanding of Acts 2 and 4. about the demonstration. You know, it talks about the definition of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and understanding to be a second baptism in the fire and power, speaking about Jesus Christ in Acts 1 and 8. You know, he says, stay in Jerusalem until you be endowed. Specifically refers to the experience of believers on the day of Pentecost, which is described in the book of Acts 2 and 4, which we're going to have the woman of God to read, and I'm going to do a little breakup. She's going to be reading a little bit from this point. So go ahead, Sister Stratic, Acts 2 and 4.
And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance.
Now we see that the same when the day of Pentecost fully came, in the first day of the Feast of Pentecost, one of the seven great feasts that's ordained by God. We're talking about the practice by Israel yearly, and it took place on the fifth day after the Passover. Now, you know, the Passover was the day they were set free, the day that the death angel came through, when the last process of the plagues, and it talks about in the book of Numbers, that when Moses gave his last sentence to Pharaoh, that he said the firstborn of all the people of the Hebrews would die, but his word was reversed on him. And when you look at that story, you think about that, and it says on the day of Pentecost, they were all on one accord in one place. Now, think about this. Not the upper room where they had been previously meeting, but rather in the temple. Luke talks about this. You got the book of Luke, write this in your notes to study it later. The book of Luke 24 and 53 and Acts 2 and 46, which we're about to go to in a minute. And the Bible says, suddenly there came a sound. Now, the artist is talking about evidence. And he said it was a rushing of a mighty wind. It portrays the coming of the Holy Spirit in new demonstration of all the possibilities of what the cross is about to do in the lives of the people, not portraying or pushing back anything, but it's evidence of what's about to hit them. It's already in their homes, already in their presence. The power of the Holy Spirit is like now. Whenever you open your arms and receive it, it'll come into your room like a mighty rushing wind. The day you open your mouth and you get on your knees and you declare the word of God, your day of Penta is going to be at hand. Because when you see and understand that when you receive Christ, he's coming in to wipe all that stuff up out of you, to get all those things that was in you out of you, not overnight, but through a workmanship, that through the power of the Spirit, that he's got the ability to transform you by the opening of your mouth. Romans speaks it very clearly. But the confession, where is it? It's near you. When you read Romans 8:19, he makes it very specific that the words that you speak are right there in your mouth. When you speak a word, God said in his covenant, he will not alter. He speaks about this very strongly in Psalms 84, 89, and 34. He says his covenant he will not alter. Meaning when you speak a covenant with Christ and you invite the Holy Spirit into your life, or you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit by the laying of hands and by the speaking of words into your life, God will command that which you ask to give to you liberally and free. No, you don't have to work for nothing. Your job is to stand still and see the power of the Word of God work through you mightily. That when you receive the Holy Spirit, you receive the graduation of the power, then the demonstration begins to come as you walk and study and understand the Word of God. Now, there's a life you live, you don't live anymore. You live a life which is through Christ Jesus. And it's through him that you receive all things. That when it goes on, it says in the book of Acts, and I want the woman of God to go to the book of Acts 2 and read 37, Acts chapter 2, verse 37 and 38. As we move along, and we're going to be streaming a little bit, but we're going to get this word in you tonight, because we need you to hear this. And this is where the church is headed. This is what we proclaim in the name of Jesus. Mighty strongholds have been coming against us, but through the power of God, we got the ability to knock down every one of them. The enemy may come at you, but I declare by the word of God, he is no match for the power of God. Woman of God, let's read over in Acts 2 and 37 and 38. And let's hear that's what the Lord has to say.
Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And
my God.
Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Now, we understand that what Peter said, the very thing that John the Baptist was saying in Mark 1, He said, repent, repent, repent. John the Baptist only spoke one word. He was there to be, in other words, he was a forerunner for Christ to come. He only spoke one word, repent, repent, before the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, when you read over in the book of Acts, in that 37 to 38 verse, that when he heard these, they were pricked. In other words, she said cut, but they were pricked to the heart. The confirmation of the Spirit, of the power of the Holy Spirit, convicted them. And he said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? This proclaims that the people were behooved and bewildered, having been demonstrated by the righteousness of Christ, by the power of the demonstration which they saw. In other words, they heard about the Holy Spirit, but now they get ready to see the demonstration. Does anybody understand what I'm saying here? Let me make it plain, as clean as I can. When you see somebody say what's impossible and it become possible, you be mesmerized by what happened. I didn't believe it, but now I see it, I believe it. But the Word of God talks about the faith. This is where the faith comes in at. When God is distributed the point to tell you that you can receive the ingratiation power of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says now you got to believe in your heart that he is Lord. Not only is Lord, but he's Lord over everything. And with the words of the confession of your mouth will come to fruition, meaning God will knock every subvertice of every proclivity out of your way to get what's in you that need to be got in you. Because his job is to shelter the gift that he put in you from the day you were born. Now, the Word of God speaks it in Jeremiah 1 and 5. He said, before you were formed, I knew. I declared the Word of God in you. Even when you understand the Word of God in Ephesians 2. Ephesians said, now you are dead in your transgressions and sin. But Christ said, I'm not looking at that. Now that you done gave me the Word over in Romans 10, 8, 9, now I'm walking with you. Now I'm sending forth the Holy Spirit that even your past life, according to what it says in 1 Corinthians, I think it's 2 Corinthians 5:17, if I'm correct, and I believe I am, that the old man has passed away, beyond all things have become new. That when you struggle with the old lifestyle, temptation, lying, lasciviousness, all those negative things that plagued you, unrighteous thinking, God said, now I'm getting ready to ride you and roll you up and make you what I want you to be. But even in the midst of me bringing you into this, I got to take you through some stuff because I got to get you to believe that when you go through, I'm giving you expectation to know that I'm still on the throne. We're going to hold it for a minute. I want you to turn over to me in the book of Romans, and I want the woman of God to read Romans chapter 5. Just glance right back to this. Push back over to the left. And just read, she's going to read Romans 5. And I want her to read Romans 5 through 7. Romans chapter 5, 1 through 7. And hear what he's saying. Now, when she reads this, it's telling you, now that you receive the power of the Holy Spirit, there are some things that's going to come against you. But all these things that's coming against you is bringing experience and hope as you go forth with the Word of God and what he's called you to do. Go ahead, woman of God.
Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die.
You ain't going to die for nobody. I'll take the bullet. I'll take the fall. No, you're going to take your scary self and go run somewhere. But Christ said, I came for this. This is what I came to. I knew I was coming to slaughter, and I was made to die for you. I'm not going to run, but I'm going to stand still. But in the midst of her reading that Christ said, in the midst of the Holy Spirit coming into the midst of your life, these are some of the things that are going to affect you. But if you understand that who I am in you, then you know you've been justified, as she said in the first verse. Being justified by what? By faith. And as you read on to about faith, he says you have peace through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's giving you the avenue that you can't do it on yourself. You can't do it by yourself. You got to do it through him. And it's about whom you have the access. Now look at the key words: by faith, grace, and hope. And he goes over in the third verse. When you have grace, faith, and hope, then the devil gonna hit you with everything he got, because he knows you got somebody with you. In other words, the devil is like the persecuting attorney. His job is to prove you wrong in the court of his law. But God said, no, they didn't do it, I did it. Because why? In 3 days, I was raised up. And when I was raised up, I kicked the bottom up out of hell. And I released the captive. And even so, I would do in their life. Everything that ever held you captive in your life, every proclivity, every problem, every sting that ever tried to hurt you, every scar that you ever had in your heart, that people ever done you wrong, that they ever went against you, God said, I'm now preparing in this season through your faith and your belief to release you from the pits of hell that's been tormenting you all these days. What are you dealing with? Pain? Hurt? Have something to hurt you so point that you don't understand, that you don't know how you're going to get over it? God said, I'm the answer. But in the midst of the answer, he said over in Romans 5 and 3, in Romans 5 and 3, he said, and not only but glory, but in tribulation. Also known that tribulation brings forth repentance. He's dealing with all the fruits of the Spirit right there. The only way you're going to get through the problems in your life or what you're dealing right now is under it. It's going to take the Holy Ghost to bring you through. And when the Holy Ghost brings you through, and he said, who the Son sets free, and what? Free indeed. That's right. He's free indeed. But it says over in Romans 5 and 4, but patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. Now, look what he's saying. If you deny me before man, I deny you before my Father. In other words, God will never make you ashamed. Matthew 10 and 32 and 33 speaks about this. If you deny me before the Father, if you deny me before man, I deny you before my Father. What is he saying? That even in the midst when you get butted down, even when you seem like you're on a potter's wheel, over in Jeremiah 18, God said, I know you're going through, but I got you. And you got to have enough faith to know that I've got everything in you. And what I spent, what I put in you is more powerful than you can imagine or even think of. Because now you just signed an oath with me. By the baptism of the Holy Spirit, by the confession with your mouth, and knowing that everything in your life is about to change. It may look bad right now, but through the power of the revelation of God, I've given you the ability to overpower every negative thing that ever tried to come against you. It comes to your profession, that when you profess Christ and know that he's on your side, now your walk becomes a little bit more easier by faith. Because even though the enemy will come at you, he can't stop you. Because you're dealing with like a rolling tank. That's what faith is like. That when you come into your tribulations, you come into all these unexperienced things, God said, look, experience giving you hope. Hope maketh not ashamed. God said, I ain't going to make a shame for you. Now, what is he saying when hope maketh not ashamed? Notice how he said when hope maketh not ashamed. God said, I ain't going to lie to you. Numbers. Woman of God, I want the woman of God, before we get ourselves moving, I want them to read something very clear to you. First, I want them to go to two passages. As we go forth, I want to go to the book of Psalms. I'm going to look at Psalms 89, and I want to read 34, and I'm going to give her the next one after she reads this. Psalms 89 and 34, listen to what it says. Those of you that take your time and flip over to 89 and 34, y'all may not be as quick as I am, as quick as she is, but listen to what she says.
My covenant I will not break, nor alter the word that has gone out of my lips.
Now, that's prophetic to say in Isaiah 55 and 11. Take it in your notes. Every word that goes out of the mouth of God will not come back void. He goes on and says another powerful word in the book of Numbers. Matter of fact, he puts a seal on it in the book of Numbers. We know the book of Numbers, 23, chapter 23. Let's go over to 19 through 21. Give her time to get there. And they give you time to write in your notes what God is about to say. Numbers 23, verse 19 to 21. This is what it says carefully.
God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of a man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? Behold, I have received a command to bless. He has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. He has not observed iniquity in Jacob, nor has he seen wickedness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them.
Think about that. Even though the children of Israel was bad, and they walked all the rebellion, going after idol gods, God said, look here, I don't even look at the iniquity in you because y'all are my first chosen. I've been given a commandment to bless y'all, but I will discipline you. When you run outside the word of God, when you get to be double-minded in your walk, that's when grace and mercy comes in. That even when you fall short, Romans 3 and 22, all of us fall short. If we never fell short in our life, that's why Christ had to go to the cross. And when he went to the cross, he gave you the ability to call Abba in the midst of whatever you're dealing with. Now, he spoke a strong word right there. Even in Psalms 89:34, I'm not going to break my covenant. Don't you break your covenant with me. See, it's nothing wrong with the seed. It's the soil. The word of God is the seed. We're the soil. So when God plants the word to us, he don't change, we change. When I talked about a process where you really love somebody and you really care for them, everything that you have, when you're entitled to them, you'll get from them. See, when you're in a marriage or you got a wife, got a husband, a husband got a wife, see, when you're in that relationship, guess what? You ain't got to ask him for nothing. It comes automatically because of the relationship. When you're in a relationship with Christ, it comes to you automatically. See, when you're in a relationship, you don't want to be double-minded in your relationship. You don't want to cheat. You want to go over with this person, that person, that person. Now, you want to be in a relationship that's solid. So when that woman to that man began to care for one another, they'll see the attributes of what's coming for and what he's able to have. Relationships bring forth the gifts. All you got to do is look at it naturally. When you love your husband loves his wife, guess what? Those things come naturally, the hugs, the kisses, the presents, all the things you need. Never the word of God says your bedroom is even undefiled. You can have fun. That's in our marriage conference. That's another subject right there. But even when you have your time of being in pleasurable times with your husband or your wife, those are gifts that God has given you to enjoy now that you come into the covenant. But I have Co-Pastor Patty on the line here, beautiful woman of God, always. And I don't want to leave her out on the minutes we had. I want her to have something to say as we get back into the word. Co-Pastor Patty, you are on the air, and your line is now hot.
Well, I was just enjoying. I didn't really want to interject, but I was just enjoying and listening to the word. I like the phrase that you had made, because this is so clear of, no matter what you're going to do, if you're having some struggles or if you're having some things that you're having some difficulty with, and so the Holy Spirit is always there. And he leads you through, and he guides you through if you listen. If you're there and you're in contact, if you're at a peaceable place to be able to hear him. And I like that you interjected that, or you said that, because it's at a time where, you know, we all go through some difficult times. We don't just use the Holy Spirit during our difficult times, but that seems to be one of the, what we notice it the most. So I just want to continue just to hear your encouraging words with that, Pastor.
Amen, amen. Now, she's always got something powerful to say. Always have something powerful to say. I tell you, it's good to have somebody with you, to walk with you, to know that, you know, they're there for you. We're going to go to another scripture, a verse. You're probably hearing say the time is out, but we're going to stream a little bit because it's important that we get this out. If y'all don't mind, I'm going to take you over a little bit because I want to show you something here. As a woman of God, go to the book of Acts 8:15-16. I want you to, we're going to take a good look at the book of Acts chapter 8, verse 15 and 16. Acts chapter 8. Verse 15 and verse 16, as she read. Amen.
Who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen, 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 amen. Now, when you read 17 again, and read, that's 8. Read that 8:15-16 again. Read 15 and 16. I want you to read 15 and 16. I want to see something there.
Who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Now think about that. They had only been baptized in the Lord Jesus. Now, when we look at verse 17, it says, "Then they laid their hands on them." Presents one of the ways that the believers receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now we got to catch this. It talks about when the Saul, now it's in Samuel, I believe it's in Samuel 13, when they came down from the hills of Gar. And they talk about they was carrying a lamb, and he was carrying a string instrument, and one was carrying, a goat. And they say Saul began to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but when they laid hands on him, they say he turned into another man. And it's the same thing it reads over here in the book of Acts, in this Acts 8:15-17, really 15-16 started off, but through 17, is that who when they will come down, they prayed for them, and that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Now, this is powerful. They prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. They prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. This is one of the purposes of coming, to the importance of being a believer, but being baptized in the Holy Spirit, that your pastor, the women and men of God, just pray that you receive the guidance, which is the paraclete. The paraclete is the one who leads you. He's your coach. The word in the scripture is the one, is your playbook. Those are the ones when you're like on a football team, when we talk about a baseball team. There's only one coach. There's only one manager. When you begin to listen to those who are in leadership over you and begin to understand, they're not there to try to suffer you or try to restrain you or try to be some kind of lord of you. They're there to guide you. In other words, me as a pastor and me and my wife as a woman of God and a man of God in the head of this ministry, we're not there to make ourselves lords over you. Our job is to increase the body of Christ to the point that more believers will become baptized through the Spirit. And it goes on and says in verse 16, and as yet he fell upon none of them. Now he says that, for as yet he fell, who, the Holy Spirit, fell upon none of them. But in verse 15, said they prayed. Why they was praying, they came down. Why they was praying when they come down? Because the Holy Spirit hadn't hit none of them yet. But as he goes on and said that they prayed and they came down, it said they were being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. This maintains the metaphor to the point, the baptism in water. But not the baptism in the Spirit. Meaning they had the baptism of the water, but in that they received the baptism of the Spirit. And I think in one part of the verses you read in this chapter 8, they came and they asked him and said, we hadn't so much received or heard about the Holy Spirit. So as these men of God came down, if you back up and you read from verse 14, it says, it talks about the one of the apostles, which were in Jerusalem, heard in Samaria, received the word of God. Many of them have been saved. They said they sent unto them to Peter and John, who had, when they came down, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For yet the Holy Spirit has not fell upon them. And only when they were baptized in the name of the Lord in Jesus Christ. I mean, they were only baptized in the name of the Lord, meaning in the water. They were only, you were baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But they weren't baptized in the Holy Spirit. But it goes on in verse 17, saying, then there they laid hands on them to receive the Holy Spirit. Now, this is powerful. It makes it very clear that they have received the baptism of the water, but they hadn't received the baptism of the Holy Ghost through the laying of hands. These men came down, and as they came down from Jerusalem, they prayed on their way down, that through them praying that these men of God might receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Well, I tell you, this is a good study. We've been in it all week. This is Pastor Charles Ellis here at Harvest New Life Church, and we're going to pray before we get off the air, and we thank God for each and every one of you joining in, and we want to tell you once again, for more information about the church and who we are and where we're located, you can go to our website, which is www.harvestnewlifechurch.com. There you see all the information and all directions of who we are as a ministry and what we are doing as being in the body of Christ and what part God has us in the body of Christ. We might be the little pinky, but we're doing a work. You know, sometimes, you know, we got the Gideon going on. We few in number, but we power in spirit. So we want you to come out this coming Mother's Day. Tell your friends, tell your family. Invite them to come out to the service and have a wonderful time. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we declare the word, we decree it, we speak it always. And we know, Father God, there's nothing too hard for you to do. Father God, we declare the word of God over each and every one of these individual people that's on the line, your creation. And we demonstrate by the power of the Spirit, Lord, that we release the endorphins of the Holy Ghost upon each and every one of them right now in the name of Jesus, that even in the midst of their struggle, or even in the midst of their problem, wherever it may be, be that they're dealing with, Lord, we loose it in the name of Jesus. And we declare by the call, by the power of God, by the ministry of the Holy Spirit, that it be an engrafted draft of a dew of the presence of the Spirit that fall upon them in such a way, Lord, that they be transformed and changed. Lord, give them vision and give them dreams. Give them the understanding to know that you're God and beside you there is no other. Father, we thank you for the increase in the name of Jesus. We thank you for Harvest New Life Church. We thank you for the members who are coming in openly, the willing to work to help push the ministry in the right direction. Lord, bless them in the name of Jesus, Father God. We bless you, Father God, for the ones who are not there yet, who have not arrived but yet on their way, Father God, as you bring them from the north, south, and the east, and the west. And Father God, we open up the power of the Spirit to bless each and every one of them in their hearts and in their mind and in their spirit, that they receive the healing in their bodies they so badly need. Lord, I declare that everything in their bodies line up according to the blood. I speak it, Lord. I call it being done in the name of Jesus. And every problem and every negative situation that will so easily come and beset them, Lord, we loose it in the name of Jesus. We wrap it in the blood chains of Jesus. We send it back to hell in which it comes from to never return again. That they may be loosed, that we may roll free in you, Lord, to understand that through you, Father God, that everything and all things are possible. Father God, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus Christ. And I just ask you, Father God, that every negative headache, I just keep hearing migraine in my spirit, I loose that in the name of Jesus. I call the very problem of that migraine to cease right now. I speak to the migraine, and I declare by the word of God and by the power of Spirit that peace and rest will be upon that individual, that they receive this word today in the name of Jesus, that even as we get off the line, they'll fall on their knees, Lord, what must I do to be saved? That you don't have to go through the things you're going through in your life. As we receive God, we begin to trust in God, believe in God, and know that through his Son, that died on the cross for the remission of our sins and the receiving of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we are set free. I come against every financial problem in the name of Jesus. I come against every body pain in the name of Jesus. I come against every thyroid problem, hallelujah. I come against every form of breast cancer in the name of Jesus. I come against every form of ovarian cancer, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. I loose it, Lord, that even the things that anybody that's trying to come forward, Lord, I stop it right now by the power of your Spirit. And I loose it in the name of Jesus. And I cast down every negative voice and every negative persuasive mind that come in the heart to matter of any individual to make them feel anything opposite of what you are called to be. Father God, I declare the word, I decree it, I speak it. Lord, I believe it's already been done, Lord, because we are ministry and men of God who walk by faith. We are men and women of God who walk by faith. Bless every one of our children, Lord. Bless them abundantly, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Put your hedge around each and every one of them, Father God. Raise them up to be strong young men and women of God, that they are going to proclaim the word. Bless the woman of God who teaches the young children in the name of Jesus. As we ask you, Father God, to send more help into this ministry to do the work that you called it to do. Father God, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus, even for my father, Lord, Albert Marquez. I thank you, Father God, for my mother, all the mothers, Lord, all the mothers throughout the world, Lord, that they live to see the day that you have promised them according to what's coming up this Sunday, and that's Mother's Day, that we give them all the love, all the joy, all the peace that they so desire for what they've done for us in our life. Lord, we thank you, Father God, for them being with us, Lord, and being here today, even those who have left us, Father God. I thank you to touch my friend, Lord, his mother who just passed away just this past week, just before Mother's Day. Touch him, Father God, as he travels out to put his mother away, Lord, as he begins to lay her down. He may lay down the body, but he'll lay down the spirit. And Father God, I'm asking you to touch them in the name of Jesus in their travel, that even if they go back and forth, bring them back to the destination, bring them from the destination to their home, that everything in their house will be secure, everything will be in order when they receive that back into their household. These things we ask are not of ourselves, but the power of the Most High God. We thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We pray, Lord, amen. God bless each and every one of you. We thank you. We love you. Give us a call. For those who want to contact me on a private note, you can, 214-870-2146, or you can go to the website. And as you go to the website, you'll see our email. You can email me, whatever it may be, prayer requests, whatever it may be, it doesn't matter. We're here to pray for you 24/7. God bless you, and God keep you, and thank you for tuning in with us tonight.